So we are reflecting upon creation today, again. Revelation 14, 6 to 7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." It's the message of invitation to worship the great, the only true God, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, the God who made the heavens and the earth and the springs of water. So how did they understand this message when it was written in the first century? Next slide. Well, obviously the disciples, we touched upon that, that's the beginning of the Acts that Luke wrote. At the very beginning of the chapter, the disciples come to Jesus. "Are you going to establish a kingdom now?" He says, "It is not for you to know." Then the Apostle Paul came, and he believed that Christ would come in his day. They all did believe that. They're expecting to come any day, any year now. And, you know, Jesus says this gospel will be preached to the whole world, and then I'll come. And Paul says the gospel has been preached to the whole world. That's what he said. Obviously, his perception of the world is a bit different to what we have now, and didn't really include the entire whole world of his day either, like Chinese civilization, for instance. But the Roman Empire, that is what he kept have in mind, when he said the whole world. But they basically expected Christ to come in the first century. And really, all the disciples, apart from John, died before Jesus gave the book of Revelation to John and told him, "Okay, so there is another story I have to tell you. And you need to tell this story to my followers. And then only after that I will come." So in the first century, basically, well, what was the first century? After the first few centuries, first, second, third century, they lived in the Roman Empire. And basically, if you think about the Creator and God, well, they had the rival in the Roman Emperor, because he was considered divine and God. And I suppose they were all in situations where they're facing all these statues and idols, and they had to bow down and worship them. And in some years, under some emperors, under some decrees, they've been asked to bow down and worship. So in order to worship the Creator, they would have to reject, and some of them were killed for that. So basically, it was the society that was very religious, not like today. They all had beliefs and God and gods and all kinds of gods competing. So in order to worship one true God, they had to abstain from bowing down to the emperor and his images all over the empire. After that, next slide, when the empire fell, of course, Christians were blamed for this. That's what the Romans blamed Christianity for, the fall of the Roman Empire. Then gradually the empire became, well, remained religious, but it became Christian, Christendom. So basically, that's how they understood it in the Middle Ages. They understood it really well. Looks like the kingdom of God is here, in a manner of speaking. And the way to make sure it covers the whole world, well, let's just, you know, spread it and really conquer the whole world with Christian message and build all the churches and cathedrals all over the place. So they didn't really think in terms of competition then, because Christianity was a state religion and, you know, we worship God and that's it. So they didn't bother much about creation. They didn't study creation, in fact, at all in the Middle Ages. That's what the Muslims did. In Islam, they were highly advanced, much more advanced than Christians, which turned after the end of the Middle Ages. And they didn't bother studying nature or anything like that. If you're ill, it was God's will, and suffer it, and don't complain. You know, that's how it was. And then, next slide, we move to the modern times. And if you haven't seen the film, it's called Modern Times, you really have to see. How many of you have seen Charlie Chaplin, Modern Times? It's a classic. No, you haven't seen the film, really. Or really, you have to see this film. It's made about 100 years ago, and it's relevant for us living in 2019, I think. Really, without any exaggeration, Modern Times, you really have to see this. It's got no sound, just pictures. It's got music in the background, but it's so advanced that it doesn't really need the sound, just watch it. So what happened in modern times? Well, the world changed. So with all these revolutions, industrial revolution, I suppose some of the reasons why the communism came around was because of this too, because everybody crowded into cities and factories, and the life changed completely, and it was mess, horrible mess, and people rebelled. But we had French Revolution also, like rebelling against the authorities, religious, political. American Revolution, everything changed. The modern times. I suppose, let's say that, looking at this image, when the production started, artificial production, let's say, things changed because the natural seasonal cycle of work and rest was replaced by the never ceasing production. Because you're led naturally by seasons and sunlight and all kinds of things, and you have times when you sow, times when you reap, and between you rest, you have time for other things. There's no time in industry and production, it's just non-stop, it's never ceasing, is it? So, if you think about the modern times, and people who lived in this time, they started looking back into the scriptures, and they had to really reinterpret, and their understanding of the creation and the creator and the scriptures became deeper and more meaningful and more deeper. And so really, they had to reinterpret it. So, let's have a look at a couple of things. Next slide. 1, 2, 3, 4. I choose four key aspects of the creation here and see how this is relevant to us in this modern age. Let's read through it, and then we'll take them one by one. And the ones we're looking at are in red and in green. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created. And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food." And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So we just look at the first thing that's highlighted in green. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work. Now this is something that changed, because work and rest was part of the natural human cycle in life until the 18th century, and then with the Industrial Revolution, this changed. It was disrupted, and there is no cycle, or just one cycle without ceasing, really. There is no time to rest. Really, for all those poor people, children who worked without ceasing, day and night, in factories, and so people looking at these things, they really had to, you know, what's going on? I have to reinterpret and understand, try to understand what's going on. looking back at the scriptures and the idea of the creation. Next slide. So, can we really switch off, or are we like the Hebrew slaves in Egypt who could not take a day off or Sabbath off? That was our nations. God says, let them out for a day to rest and worship me. The Pharaoh says, no. Can we switch off physically, mentally, or are we like the Hebrew slaves in Egypt in today's world right now? What do you think? Can we switch off and rest? Shouldn't be. I'll stick with that. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Next slide. Okay, let's have a look at another aspect of creation. See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Okay, the key word here is seed, and it's even used for Christ, because in Hebrew it's the same word. When Eve was about to have promised son, it was called seed. Hebrew seed, or offspring, it's the same word. And then Jesus, when he speaks in John's Gospel about cross, the cross and his sufferings, he uses this illustration. A seed will be dropped into the ground, it will die, and that's then things will grow out of it. That's him, he is a seed. Anyway, so, this is the food that God has given us to eat from the beginning of time. Right, next slide. These are the nomads in Mongolia. And Mongolia is famous for Genghis Khan. Yeah. He was a social reformer. Yeah, he was. Because in his day, all the man would do was just go and pillage villages and kill everybody. But then he came and says, let's go and pillage villages and kill everybody. Men, women, well, let's not kill the children. So that was a social reform. That's what he did. So in those days, that was a big thing. So they took the children and kept them alive. But amazing thing about Mongolia is that even today, you see people still live like, for instance, Abraham lived. Mm-hmm. And even you can go back to Adam and Eve, and there's some Abel who kept sheep and flocks of animals. Exactly the same. Since the beginning of creation, it hasn't changed. Even today, right now, lots of people live nomadic lifestyle. Now, what changed in Mongolia was that, and I remember about 10 years ago, Australia, they bought a copper mine in Mongolia, and suddenly, industry boomed. And there's some other minerals then China went in, and around 2007, 8, 9, 10, the economy boomed. 200-300% increase percentage, just boomed. So much money in the country. Now, what happened? Again, industry, industrial revolution for them. Everybody flocked into the city. Well, there's just one city, Ulaanbaatar, the main city. So half of the population from the whole country ended up in the city. So what do you do in the city? Next slide. This is what happened. And this is only for the last 10 years, maybe 12, 13 years, not before, that Ulaanbaatar has become the most polluted capital in the world. Just for about the last decade or so. Now, what happened? You know, the economy is a bit unstable. You know, it's a bit like, you never know how things are going to go on the market. So basically, the boom that lasted a few years sort of stopped, and then things went down, and the investors, some pull back, some left. And basically, that's what modern capitalism does. They just go grab all the stuff and take it away. So they did that, and all the money that was there, it's not to the people of the country, is it? It's gone to all the other countries that invested in it, like China and Australia and other countries. But what they've been left with is an incredible amount of pollution, and they have epidemics of asthma and pulmonary diseases there, they cannot cope with, cancer, diabetes. All the people that move into cities, they never had these diseases before. Just 10 years ago, they didn't have it. But they all have this. I'm not talking about cancer and diabetes, I talk about epidemics of it, you know, thousands and thousands. That's what they've been left with. And it doesn't look good, does it? Doesn't look good. I remember, next slide. Now this is a swimming pool in my hometown, and so we've been visiting there for the last 20, so many years. And similar timing. Up to about 10, 12, 13 years ago, we used to go to the pool in the summer every year. And that's just the region that's our genetic, I suppose, everybody's skinny. So everybody in this pool, skinny, everybody just 100%. But then suddenly, about 2010, we started seeing some not so skinny children, let's say, for the first time. And it coincided with, for the first time, fast food convenience shopping opened in the town. Just after 1 year, it changed. And now, a few years later, you know, 30, 40% of people, which are completely different. Just in a few years, it's changed. So also, next slide, when fast food arrived in Africa, woke up and drive, and this is what happened in Africa. It's terrible, isn't it? They wouldn't be able to transfer this into the Western Safari Park. No. But this is what happened. So what do you think about processed foods, fast foods? Anybody thinks it's good?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Not really.
But let me show you the very first invented fast food or processed food. You can call it fast food. Next slide. It's a bag of bread roll. Yeah. Right. So all the way up to 1870, they used stones to mill flour. Mm-hmm. And it's a rough process. You get crushed seed and everything that's in the seed. You put it in the flour, you bake bread or something, and you eat it. But then they invented new technologies, and they used steel rollers to mass produce flour. And the whole production was the way it was done. You separate the white from the germ and the bran. And the reason they've done this was because the stuff in the seed, the good oils in the seed, they're very perishable. So you can't really preserve them. So unless you eat it very quickly after you milled or grinded the seed, it will perish very quickly. The white, just the flour, white flour, it doesn't perish. But all the good stuff, it perishes. So let's just take that out and sell you this. So, let's have a look. Next slide. Just to show you what they've taken out. Wheat germ. It's the very part of the seed that gives life and starts new life. That's the main thing that's been taken out. It's really quite amazing what this little thing has. And this is not just wheat. They've done the same with corn, corn seeds, you know, if you're gluten intolerant, rice. Anybody here eats whole grain rice? Wow, look at that. Lots of people, very good. But corn, you can't find whole grain corn flour or anything like that. Made, unless you eat corn as it is. If you look at the stuff you find in the wheat germ, it's incredible, really. This stuff is like meat. Look, it's percentages. 30% of this stuff is protein. That's like meat. That's a really substantial food. Iron. You don't be iron deficient. A little bit of this stuff gives you 70% of your daily iron requirements. Some of the things that vegetarians may need, protein and iron. And then all these vitamins, a lot of it, tons of it, and minerals, all the nutrients. It's all the good stuff. So industrial revolution has taken all this good stuff out simply because, not intentionally, but it's not convenient. You cannot preserve it. And because the industry changed the way of life and everybody crowded into cities, you have to have masses of food delivered very quickly, has to be preserved for a long period of time. If you live, you know, out there in villages, you can do your own thing. But it's just a change of life, the way we relate to the creation. If you take all the good stuff out, all the nutrients, you know, stick with white bread, you can eat like 20 pieces, 20 slices, it's just like paper, isn't it? And just get this sugar rush. And but if you try eating proper whole grain bread, it takes some effort to chew, doesn't it? You cannot just stuff yourself. And then you have two pieces and you're not hungry anymore because your body is not screaming for nutrients because you had it. You sit with the white bread, just keep eating, blow yourself up, get all bloated and stuff, but you didn't get anything valuable with it. It's all taken out. But that's just one example. We don't talk about food now. This is the first processed food, white flour. And there's so many things that change with the way farm, agriculture, and everything else. Don't need to talk about it. Just one example. So, next slide. Thinking about the simple things God has given us in the beginning, that due to the change of the lifestyle, due to the change of driven by the industrial revolution and technology, it sort of has messed up the way we live. And the food that God has given us to it, just a simple food that actually has got all the good stuff in it. And somebody says, in all the stuff that in the supermarket, it's not packed and doesn't have advertisement on it, it's good for you to eat, so just go and buy it. So in the fruit and vegetable section, there's no, it's just fruit and vegetables. Everything else has to be packed in golden, silver, big letters, red, blue, because it doesn't have the essence is not in it, so you have to shout and scream just superficial messages, but it doesn't have what we need, does it? Stuff that's good. It doesn't need advertising, does it? See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of the earth, every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. So we've taken it, broken it apart, took all the good stuff out and threw it away. And just feed ourselves with kitchen paper, I suppose. I don't know. It's not what we need. Right. Next slide. So, this is the modern artificial world improving on God's original design. You remember the red blowing rat? And that's his friend. I love Luciferian, yeah? Because that's what makes it glow red.
Yeah.
Yes. Fascinating, isn't it? What is scary is, next slide, that you can buy a kit for less than £150 that will enable you to genetically modify biological life in your own kitchen or garage. Less than £150. And see the word, keyword there, CRISPR. It's called CRISPR. That's the technology that, it's a bit like carrier or courier that comes to your door with a parcel. That's exactly, does exactly the same thing with your genome. You just type in the postcode, comes into that location, your genome, and delivers a parcel. And it's been invented just a few years ago, and there are a lot of ethical debates around it now. But for less than £150, you can make, you know, fish glow, rats glow, bacteria glow. I know what you're thinking. But don't rush and buy one just yet. But you can basically edit. They call it editing. They call it copying and pasting. That's what the science is. You're copying and pasting, just like in the word processor. And just gene, as simple as that. And you can actually edit the very information, the core of the creation. Now, next slide. I'll just recommend you to watch this if you can, if you haven't seen it. It's on Netflix. It's called Unnatural Selection. They call it now Selection by Design. It's not Natural Selection anymore. It's a series, four-part series. You should really watch this if you're thinking about buying yourself a gene biohacking kit. Even if not, you should really watch this program because where we have stepped now as a humankind, there is no more going back. There is no more going back. And, well, let me just give you an example. Next slide. The first genetically modified babies that were born, they will be studied for the rest of their lives, how China's gene-edited twins could be forever changed by controversial CRISPR work. For now, they are known as Lulu and Nana, pseudonyms that are meant to give them some amount of anonymity amid the international uproar over their birth. As the first babies born after their genomes were edited, while they were embryos, by the genetics tool CRISPR, the twin girls born in Shenzhen, China, are the subject of scientific and public scrutiny that will only escalate as they get older. It's a bit like the Truman Show, isn't it? They'll be watched for the rest of their lives. So, things we talked about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, what would happen in the future? Well, we're not talking about it anymore. It's happening today. Next slide. All right, let's have a look at another aspect of creation. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. Very simple, traditional way of thinking, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, next slide. The question is, who am I? And everybody who's got kids now and they're sent to school, they come up with this question. You can be what you want to be. You know, you don't have to, you know, believe, not just in society, but actually have the technology that can help you choose to be whoever you want to be. Alternative lifestyles and relationships, and also scientific, technological, biotechnical changes you can do to yourself. If you watch the program, Unnatural Selection, there are these people, you know, who order this game. And some people inject themselves with modified genes, about doing all kinds of things. It's crazy, you should really say, who am I? Well, you can answer the question. The question is answered to us from the very beginning. We are the children of God, and He's designed us and made us the way He designed us and made us for the very reason. It doesn't seem to be precious about, doesn't feel too precious about copyrights, does it? Because He lets us do all these things, mess up with His. If Steve writes a song, my song, I'll copyright it, yeah. If you invent something, it's, oh, it's mine, yeah. But God just lets us mess with His stuff that He's designed. Incredible, isn't it? So, next slide. Just one more aspect of creation that's completely been messed up today. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep. Next slide. So this is really our life. God has created us to be physically active. We talked about in the lesson, you know, Jesus ate some fish and went into heaven. It's not a spirit. He had a body, a physical body. God has created us to be physically active and to be so forever. I remember living back in Serbia maybe 2.5 decades ago, before I moved here, and most of the things I would do in the town, I would either walk or cycle, and it would never even cross your mind. I need to go to a gym. Why would I need to go to a gym? Because part of that lifestyle that I live, it's very active, and you don't even think about that. And then we're forced into, not by choice, forced into this new society that forces us to sit in cars and sofas, in front of computers constantly, and you really have to take time away, or I have to go to the gym to be physically active. What kind of life is that? Where, until very recently, everybody, you know, it was just part of life. Just like eating whole grain bread, maybe, a few centuries ago. You don't think about whether it's nutrients or not. Just get the stuff you need. But now, everything's been completely messed up, from top to bottom. So for us now to think about on the text, next slide, from the book of Revelation, it really takes a new and deeper meaning, and really have to reflect on it seriously how we are to relate to the Creator and His creation. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water, and animals and plants and you and me."